Have you ever wanted something really bad? I mean, really, really wanted it? Like when you were a kid and you wanted something so much for Christmas that all you could do was think about it for weeks and weeks before the big day? What was that thing? Can you even remember it now? Did you get it? And if so, what did you do with it? Where is it now? Is your life truly better because you got it? It makes me think of the old movie that's popular around Christmas time called A Christmas Story. Maybe you've seen the 1983 film about a boy growing up in the 1940s named Ralphie. All he longs for is a Red Ryder BB gun. It's all he thinks about, day and night. And his task is to convince his mom and dad that he should have one. He is painfully aware that all they'll see is the danger of the BB gun and not the awesome potential to save the world. The dreaded line from the parents, especially the mom, is, "You'll shoot your eye out." When Ralphie finally gets a chance to ask the department store Santa for his Red Ryder BB gun, the store Santa puts his big boot on Ralphie's forehead, and as he shoves Ralphie down the chute, he exclaims, "You'll shoot your eye out." Ralphie is devastated. Even Santa seems to agree with the adults, especially his mom. But he still longs for the Red Ryder BB gun, and nothing can take that desire away. If you've never seen the movie, you might want to watch it, so I won't spoil the ending. And if you have seen it, you know exactly what happens to Ralphie's Christmas wish. But now, as a teen, you're older, and the things you really want have gotten more sophisticated, and so has your desire. These may be things like a new iPad with some awesome apps, or an A in chemistry so you can get into med school, or a parent to come home from deployment, or your family to be back together like it was before the divorce, or to stay put in one high school until you graduate. You probably have your own special thing that produces that longing, that yearning and craving for something that won't go away. Frankly, you don't want that feeling to go away because you wish for it so strongly. Perhaps by just wanting it so much, by your sheer willpower, you can make it happen. Most of us understand what that feels like, so I want you to listen to a story from the Bible that describes a woman who longs to be a mother. She yearns for it so much, and she can't make it happen on her own, so she cries out to God to give her a child. She even makes a deal with God that commits her to some pretty radical things in the future. The story comes from 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. It's a story of Hannah and her son Samuel. It's a bit long, but through the account, Hannah's character has time to be pretty well developed so you can understand her longing.
There was a man named Elkanah from the tribe of Ephraim who lived in the town of Ramah in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham and grandson of Elihu and belonged to the family of Tohu, a part of the clan of Zuph. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Every year, Elkanah went from Ramah to worship and offer sacrifices to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Each time Elkanah offered his sacrifice, he would give one share of the meat to Peninnah and one share to each of her children. And even though he loved Hannah very much, he would only give her one share because the Lord had kept her from having children. Peninnah, her rival, would torment and humiliate her because the Lord had kept her childless. This went on year after year. Whenever they went to the house of the Lord, Peninnah would upset Hannah so much that she would cry and refuse to eat anything. Her husband Elkanah would ask her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you always so sad? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?
Okay, we begin to see the story unfold as we start to understand a bit of the how and why of Hannah's desire to have the child. She is really so distressed that she won't even eat. But this deep yearning causes her to do something pretty extreme. Let's hear what she does.
One time after they had finished their meal in the house of the Lord at Shiloh, Hannah got up. She was deeply distressed and she cried bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Meanwhile, Eli the priest was sitting in his place by the door. Hannah made a solemn promise, "Lord Almighty, look at me, your servant. See my trouble and remember me. Don't forget me. If you give me a son, I promise that I will dedicate him to you for his whole life and that he will never have his hair cut." Hannah continued to pray to the Lord for a long time, and Eli watched her lips. She was praying silently. Her lips were moving, but she made no sound. So Eli thought that she was drunk, and he said to her, "Stop making a drunken show of yourself. Stop your drinking and sober up."
"No, I'm not drunk, sir," she answered. "I haven't been drinking. I am desperate, and I have been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Don't think I am a worthless woman. I have been praying like this because I'm so miserable." Go in peace, Eli said, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked him for. May you always think kindly of me, she replied. Then she went away, ate some food, and was no longer sad.
Wow. Hannah struck an impressive deal with God in order to be a mother. She was willing to give her son back to God for lifelong service if God would just let her have a child. Let's find out what happens.
The next morning, Elkanah and his family got up early, and after worshiping the Lord, they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had intercourse with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord answered her prayer. So it was that she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel and explained, "I asked the Lord for him." The time came again for Elkanah and his family to go to Shiloh and offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and the special sacrifice he had promised. But this time Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will take him to the house of the Lord, where he will stay all his life." Elkanah answered, "All right, do whatever you think best. Stay at home until you have weaned him, and may the Lord make your promise come true." So Hannah stayed at home and nursed her child. After she had weaned him, she took him to Shiloh, taking along a 3-year-old bull, a bushel of flour, and a leather bag full of wine. She took Samuel, young as he was, to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. After they had killed the bull, they took the child to Eli. Hannah said to him, "Excuse me, sir, do you remember me? I am the woman you saw standing here praying to the Lord. I asked him for this child, and he gave me what I asked for. So I am dedicating him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will belong to the Lord." Then they worshiped the Lord there.
So we see that God kept his end of the bargain, and so did Hannah. Her boy Samuel, whom she promised to dedicate to the Lord, was brought to the house of the Lord and given to the priest Eli. That's where Samuel grew up and learned about worshiping God. Because of this blessing, Hannah offers a prayer of thanks that is even deeper than her yearning. Let's listen in.
Hannah prayed, "The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. I laugh at my enemies. How joyful I am because God has helped me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is none like him, no protector like our God. Stop your loud boasting, silence your proud words. For the Lord is a God who knows, and he judges all that people do. The bows of strong soldiers are broken, but the weak grow strong. The people who once were well fed now hire themselves out to get food, but the hungry are hungry no more. The childless wife has borne 7 children, but the mother of many is left with none. The Lord kills and restores to life. He sends people to the world of the dead and brings them back again. He makes some people poor and others rich. He humbles some and makes others great. He lifts the poor from the dust and raises the needy from their misery. He makes them companions of princes and puts them in places of honor. The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord. On them he has built the world. He protects the lives of his faithful people, but the wicked disappear in darkness. A man does not triumph by his own strength. The Lord's enemies will be destroyed. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the whole world. He will give power to his king. He will make his chosen king victorious." Then Elkanah went back home to Ramah, but the boy Samuel stayed in Shiloh and served the Lord under the priest Eli. The sons of Eli were scoundrels. They paid no attention to the Lord or to the regulations concerning what the priests could demand from the people. Instead, when someone was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a 3-pronged fork. While the meat was still cooking, he would stick the fork into the cooking pot, and whatever the fork brought out belonged to the priest. All the Israelites who came to Shiloh to offer sacrifices were treated like this. In addition, even before the fat was taken off and burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the one offering the sacrifice, "Give me some meat for the priest to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, only raw meat." If the person answered, "Let us do what is right and burn the fat first, then take what you want," the priest's servant would say, "No, give it to me now. If you don't, I will have to take it by force." This sin of the sons of Eli was extremely serious in the Lord's sight, because they treated the offerings to the Lord with such disrespect.
In the meantime, the boy Samuel continued to serve the Lord, wearing a sacred linen apron. Each year, his mother would make a little robe and take it to him when she accompanied her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say to Elkanah, "May the Lord give you other children by this woman to take the place of the one you dedicated to him." After that, they would go back home. The Lord did bless Hannah, and she had 3 more sons and 2 daughters. The boy Samuel grew up in the service of the Lord.
What an amazing glimpse into the life of Hannah, her husband, her son Samuel, and their extended family. This is a real story of real people. It demonstrates that God does understand our deepest desires. For one reason or another, He may not always grant our sincere yearnings, but even then we can thank and worship Him like Hannah did. Perhaps you have a mother who has prayed long and hard for your life, or maybe a grandmother or an aunt. You may be surprised to discover how much your mother or other women have prayed for you. Certainly Hannah not only prayed for Samuel, but also made sure that he knew the goodness of the Lord and that he would serve God all the days of his life. The Bible does have more on Samuel's life as he grows to be a man and a prophet of the living God to Israel. In fact, he is the prophet that God uses to anoint the new King David in 1 Samuel 16. And of course, King David is a major character throughout Scripture, and from his family line, we get God's son, Jesus. All of that is connected to a mother named Hannah who cried out to God with her greatest desire. Have you considered taking your deepest longing to the Lord? And have you thanked your mom or grandmother or other women in your life for praying for you? Today would be a good day to do either or both of these things.